Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Giving is living. You know, really, we got to learn how to give in the kingdom. We want to give like God does. Be imitators of God. We're to imitate Him. We're to be like God. Because we've been created in His image, right? He's a giver. So we want our giving to be effective. So we want to give and it have something on it. We want to give and it keeps people awake at night. Getting them to think about God and what God is doing and what God is up to. And you see, that's the way you'll become. You'll become a person. When you get those things in order, you'll become a person that when you give something, it affects them for the kingdom. Last week, the second week of this series, we talked about mammon. Remember, Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Remember, what's mammon? Mammon was a Assyrian god. And the spirit of mammon came out of Babylon. And Babylon was it talks about Babylon in Genesis chapter 11. They were trying to build the Tower of Babel to heaven in their own strength. God wasn't involved in it. They were trying to do it in their own strength. So what mammon does is mammon tries to get you to do things apart from God. Mammon makes you think you need more money. Mammon means God of riches. That's what that word means. God of riches. Mammon says, you just need more money. If you had more money, you could do this and you could do that. He always is whispering to you to tell you, you need more money. So if that's always on your mind, I've just had more money. That's mammon talking to you. And see, what happens is we get into agreement with that and the world system, because that's the world system. And the world system is confused. That's what Babylon means, confusion. So the spirit came out of Babylon, out of confusion. So that's why our financial system in the world system, the government system, is such confusion, because it's all about mammon. And mammon promises you security and health and strength, but mammon can't deliver one of them. Not one. Mammon will tell you that he's going to take care of you, but when it comes time, you're not going to be taken care of. And the Bible says, Jesus said, you'll either love one and hate the other, or you'll despise one and be loyal to the other. You see, if you're loyal to mammon, and you'll be coming to church, people are coming to church loyal to mammon, but they despise God whenever their finances get into problem. Because they're really not under, and they're not giving in accordance to what God has taught us. You see that? They despise, and they're not loyal to God. Because they're serving mammon. And mammon is the spirit of the Antichrist. And in Revelation, it talks about the Antichrist is all about not being able to buy or sell. He's going to control that. So what you think is, if you have more money, you're going to be all right. If I just have enough money. But that's not what you need. You need more of God in your life. And God will give you wisdom. And when you give like He says, then He's going to make sure you're taken care of. See, that takes the load off of you. You're not going to worry, and you're not going to be anxious about money and finances all the time. You see that? And that's the idea. Because when you're worrying and fretting about finances, that's pride. You're trying to do your own thing. That's mammon. You're serving mammon. But the idea is, we want to serve God, right? It talks about, in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. So God wants us to give and give like He does. Because that's His nature. It's to give. So now, it talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that his grace and peace has been multiplied to us through the knowledge of him. Knowledge of who? God. In Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Folks, the church is weak in their area of giving. And there are a lot of people defeated in this area because they don't understand, they're not operating in the knowledge of God. That's why they're experiencing destruction in this area. He says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But then he says over in Peter, his grace and peace have been multiplied to us through the knowledge of him. And then he says, and he has given us his divine power, has given us all things. How many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of him, through knowing him, who calls us by glory and virtue, by which we have exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, his word, we will take on his nature and escape the corruption that's in this world through lust and deceitful desires. You see, you will escape the corruption that's in this world through lust and deceitful desires. What's the corruption? The corruption is the financial crisis that America's in. That's the corruption. You see, through lust and deceitful desires. Because the people who are leading that were greedy. And through lust and deceitful desires, it created that. And if you're tapped into mammon, you are experiencing that. But if you're in the kingdom of God, you escape that. You see that? You escape that because you are taking on his nature and you're escaping the corruption that's in this world through lust and deceitful desires. That's the way it is. There is no financial crisis in the kingdom. None. And when you operate in that, you are partaking of blessing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, that we've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the word of God. Through the word of God, if we're believers, that's what we've been born again, through that word. You see? So, it's all about being concatenated. That means to be connected, linked to the original. You see, look here. If you've been born again of the Word of God, then everything you do should come from the Word of God. And that's what he's trying to teach you. You see, it's a botanical growth. It takes time. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the traits and the characteristics. It's the fruit, right? And that's what he's trying to produce in our life. And when we're connected to that word, then what we're producing is going to be the fruit. Peace, joy. See, a lot of people can have peace when all their bills are paid and the job's doing well and things are going, they got peace. And they act like they have peace, but it's false. Because one of those things fail, they get anxious and they start worrying and they get over-concerned about their situation. And now, you see, their peace is gone. Because it wasn't concatenated to the Word of God. Come on. And coming out of that, it was coming out of their system. You see, when you have real peace and you're concatenated to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, it's going to come out, and no matter what comes out here your way, no matter what you go through, you got peace. You're not going to worry. You're not going to be full of anxiety and stressed. You're going to have peace because you are you're concatenated to the Word of God. Joy. A lot of people have joy when, you know, their marriage is great and everything's going good and their health, and they got joy. They're happy. But something happens and their joy is taken away. It was in pride. It was false joy because it wasn't concatenated to the Word of God. But when you have joy, real joy, things happen, you still got your joy. You see, no matter what happens, your joy isn't dependent on happenstance and what's going on. It's dependent on your relationship with God. That's the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy. It's concatenated. It's connected. And that's what God is doing. It's botanical growth. It comes from the seed. You see that? It's not mechanical. See, mechanical's out here. It's organic. It grows from the inside. You know, a gardener doesn't make the fruit. He just helps produce the environment and nurtures it and does what it takes and the conditions. He creates the conditions for it to grow, for things to grow. And that's what the body of Christ is. You see, Jesus is the gardener. He's creating conditions. He's putting things out there. And you, if you're part of that, you're going to grow. And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't grow apples and pears and potatoes overnight. It takes time. It's botanical growth, botanical growth. That's what it is. That's the way it is. And that's what God is doing. And you know what? When you understand that, it changes your life. It changes your perception and the way you see things. All right. Go with me to John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." Verse 8. "For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Now, this portion of Scripture here, demonstrates two hearts. One is a generous heart, which would be Mary's heart, because she gave this spikenard, this oil, it was like a year's wage. That's what she gave and anointed Jesus' feet with. Okay? So that was an extravagant gift, giving that year's wage and pouring that on his feet. That would be an extravagant gift. That was very generous. And then there's another heart displayed here, and that's a selfish heart. And that would be Judas's heart. Judas was being selfish. And selfish is the enemy of generosity. Selfishness is a problem that we all face and we all deal with. From the time we're children, we have a selfishness. That's mine. That's mine. Mine. Anybody ever do that? Any kids ever do that? Some of you still do that. No. You know, that's one of the biggest problems in marriage is selfishness. They never got out of that. We all have to deal with selfishness. Because, folks, it's a problem. And when we understand God and His way of giving, we're going to become more generous. Generosity is something that God wants us to work in and live in. And it frees us up to be who we are. And it blesses and advances the kingdom. And there's fulfillment in it. Selfishness always looks out for itself. Selfishness promotes self. Selfishness protects self. Selfishness provides for self. See? All of those areas, promotes, protects, and provides. The Bible teaches that God is the one who promotes you. God is the one who protects you, and God is the one who provides for you. But see, what selfishness does, it takes the place of God. And that's the idea. We want God. We want to be dependent on God to take care of us, to provide for us, and to promote us. And when we are, we're getting that giving in line with what God has called us to. Now, Judas said, why wasn't that sold? Why didn't you sell this expensive perfume, this oil, to sell it and then give the money to the poor? That right there was selfishness right there. Doesn't sound like it. Judas, you know what Judas, why he said that? Judas was covering his own motives. He was pointing the finger at someone else's extravagance because he was covering his motive because he wanted a place in the kingdom. See, remember they were arguing who's the greatest in the kingdom. See, that's what Judas was wanting. He was wanting to be big deal in the kingdom. So that's why he was pointing out that, and that was really pride. It's not about serving God for how great you can be. It's about serving God for who he is and how great we can make him look. That's what God wants. But Judas was thinking of himself when he pointed the finger. You see, that's what happens when we judge and we point the finger at other people's extravagance. We're just jealous. We should be happy that other people are blessed and other people have things. God will deal with that if that's off. Who are we, right? Remember? We can't be judging nobody, right? Now, it's about what we can do for God, not about what we can do for ourselves and how good we can look. Judas, all right, it says that Judas was a thief. He was a thief. Now, who do you think picked Judas to be one of the disciples? Jesus did. You think Jesus knew that Judas was a thief? Jesus said a year before this period, he says, one of you is a devil. He knew it. And then he put him in charge of the money. After that, you know what? He gave him the responsibility in the area of his weakness, letting him decide how to handle it. Because see, folks, we're going to be tested in every area of our life. We're always going to be tested. And Jesus ain't going to force anything on you. He's not going to force one thing on you. But he is going to test you. See, if Judas would have overcome, he would have escaped that temptation. It talks about in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with that temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, if Judas' priorities were in order, he would have escaped that. You see that? And he wouldn't have stole, but he didn't. He made up his mind. He was a thief. Now, Judas handled the money box. What's the money box? Well, the money box was much like the way things are today. Jesus' ministry was a traveling ministry, and they took up offerings to provide for the ministry. And Judas handled the money, and he was taking money out of the money box. None of you would ever take money out of the money box, would you? Out of the offering plate when it comes by? None of you would ever do that, would you? It says in Malachi chapter 3, it says, you have robbed me in tithes and offering. That's just like being a thief. That is a thief. That's one of the points here. You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. When you rob somebody, you're taking something. The word rob in the Hebrew language means bodily harm and bodily injury. So it brings harm and injury to the body of Christ when people don't tithe. And we wouldn't ever take money out of the money box, right? That's because the tithe has been designated for the kingdom. That's what it's for. And if you have a problem with this, then you're serving mammon. You're not trusting God. The Bible doesn't even say give a tithe. It says bring it to the storehouse. What's the storehouse? The storehouse is where you are being spiritually fed. And when you operate in the net, all the rest of your money is protected and redeemed. It has redeeming value. You see, you can be a billionaire and give to Red Cross and give to all these things the way you want to, but you see, the tithe is not even up to yours to give. You give it to the storehouse. And you don't designate it where it goes. You trust the church to designate it where it goes. And then the offering is what you designate. That's over and above the tithe. You see, you can be a millionaire, a billionaire, and give your money to Red Cross, all these different charity places. But if you're not tithing and you're not in this order of giving, then your money has no redemptive value for the kingdom of God. You are doing your own thing and you're promoting your own thing. Am I making sense? A little woman can give 20 cents and it be a tithe. See, it's not a matter how much. You just tithe 10% of what you bring in. A woman can, or a man can give 20 cents and it have more redemptive value and increase the kingdom of God more than that billionaire given to what he wants to give to. That's what I'm trying to show you. We get our giving in order. And we want our grandchildren to be affected. When I get around Zeta, I want to be effective in what I give. Giving mercy, giving kindness, everything I get. I want my grands. You know, you get around them and it's like, you know, you want your what you do to really have an impact and be effective over them. And thus, this idea of giving is what it is. That's what's going to be effective. Now, extravagant giving. Okay, now look at this. You can't impress God with your giving. You know why? Because it's all His anyways. God in heaven has streets of gold. His gates are made out of pearl. The walls of where He's at are diamonds. So there aren't no potholes up in heaven. God has it together. And what you give can't impress Him. But you know what you can give that impresses Him? You give yourself. 2 Corinthians 8:3-4. You can go there, but I'm not going to go there now, but you can go there later. They gave themselves as a gift, as the offering. But let me tell you something. You can't give yourself without giving your wallet. God is, I mean, it's his duty to take care of you when you do things His way. He cannot not take care of you. This week, we got more calls than last week from people. Most of the phone calls we're getting is people wanting money. People in need of money. Listen to me. Now, I would put my life on it. Not one of them was a tither. I would lay my life on it. As 20 years of I've been in ministry, I've never seen anyone tithing that has to go asking for money all the time. Not once. People that tithe, it just seems to work out. It's a protection over you. He says if you tithe, you're under the blessing. You either tithe and get the blessing, or you don't and there's a curse. But you see what I'm trying to show you? This is for benefit you and the kingdom. You see this? And a lot of people, he's saying that because he's a preacher. No. This is about your health and wealth and well-being and family. Because folks, we're in another day. Statistics say only 5-6% of people are tithing across in the universe. But now if the church starts to get it together in this area, overcome this weakness, and really get it together, now they're going to escape the corruption that comes through lust and deceitful desires in this world systems. That's exactly what's going on. And when we will do this, folks, you are going to be the participant. You're going to be the one and the recipients of what God has for you. That's why it says, freely you give, freely you receive. Now, this woman, she gave this year's wage in this oil and put this oil on Jesus' feet, anointed Him. She did that out of gratitude for what God had showed her. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And so she was giving out of gratitude. Her perception had changed. You know what? That ought to do something to our perception. The Bible says you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, but now you have been made alive unto God. You see that? You were raised from the dead. That ought to change your perception. I'll tell you what, when I write my tithe check, I don't even think about it. When I got this revelation, I don't even think about it because I know where I was. And I know what I came out of. Are you with me? Folks, listen to me. God is trying to teach us and show us His way. And if we will capture it and get it and operate in it, we're going to see the kingdom of God advance. That's the reason we gather. That's the reason we're here, is to advance His kingdom. And you know what? There are rewards. Now, she gave that. And remember, there's three levels of giving: tithes, offerings, and extravagant offerings. That was an extravagant offering. She came to honor the Lord. That's why she showed up that day. She had not a clue what she was doing. Now, go with me to Mark 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial." That anointing that she anointed Jesus with was all the anointing that took place when He was crucified. They didn't even have to bring myrrh and all the rest like they normally do. It was already done. Assuredly, verse 9, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." She did that out of just wanting to honor the Lord. It says, wherever this gospel is preached. I'm preaching this morning, 2,000 years later, and it's a memorial to her. Did that giving have an effect? Don't you want your giving to have an effect? I want my grandkids, when they think of me, like a little memorial raiser. I'm going to tell you something. My grandmother Gillenwater had a big influence on my life. And I'm going to tell, there is not one day that goes by I don't think about her. Not one. It's like this little memorial always comes up. And I know she was a tither. I remember making sure one time she couldn't get to church, someone came by on a horse and buggy down there in the mountains in the hills, and she ran out and gave her money to put into the church. Here's what I'm saying. That's why. Are you catching this? We affect people in our giving. This is huge, folks. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." God will reward you. He cannot not reward you. He has to reward you. He's bound to his word. He cannot lie and he can't go back on it. When you do it according to his word and you're concatenated and it's coming out of that, there's a reward coming. That's not why you're doing it. It's just happening. That word rewarder, you can't even find it in the English language. It is a Greek word, and this is what it means. It means to hire or pay wages due. The second meaning of that word is to give extravagantly over and above. So God is going to give you what's due to you, and he's going to give over and above and make sure that you're taken care of. When you operate in faith, and that's what this whole walk is, we walk by faith and not by sight. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to please him. How about you?
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save
us. You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.